listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Greetings. How many of you like the lobby? Can I hear an amen? Amen. I just had the new floor installed this week, and I've got a giant praise on that. I got a call after the service Sunday, as we announced we were going to do that this week, and we had one of our sweet friends of our ministry call me and say, my wife and I would like to pay for it. So the praise God. Can I hear an amen? So, $6,100, and they've got it covered, and it's excited when Jesus does that. Amen? Amen. So I want to remind you about our new young adult life group starting, and started this week, and next week we're having magnificent Jupiter donuts, and so I want to encourage you to come and have some of those with us as we break open the Word of God together. And life groups, want to encourage you to be a part of a life group. And it's a great opportunity to get to know everybody better and for them to be able to see you and account for you. Through the years, our life groups have ministered to a lot of our people when they've had illness. In fact, one of our ladies fell, broke both arms, and her life group fed her 3 meals a day for months, came and read to her. And so there's a lot of ministry with that. And so I want to encourage you to consider that. And then also we've got our summer soul winning, church-wide soul winning. We're going out on Monday nights at 6. Want to encourage you to come tomorrow night and go out with us to touch people, reach people, love on people for Christ. And then we've got some other things in here, back to school bash with our youth, and SK8 Factory Vero Beach, a going on there. And so want to encourage you to take part in that as well. As you know, early elections have opened this weekend, and want to encourage you to vote conservatively, to vote biblically with a biblical worldview, and to vote often. really just vote once, but we're not a blue city, so we only vote once. But there was a great, great man that lived in New York who was a conservative, Bible-believing Republican, and he said, when I die, bury me somewhere else because I don't want to still be involved in politics in New York. So I want to encourage you to go out and cast your convictions and vote biblically. Vote for biblical values, and that is so important. Amen? Amen. Thank you.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you this beautiful morning, Lord. And we just ask you, please, to bless all those that are here today and that they open their hearts to hear your word, Lord. We want to ask you, please, to bless these offerings and use them for your glory. We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Were there giants? Are there giants? Have there been giants? And we're going to have that discussion and look at it. And there is a reason for it. Now, year and a quarter ago, I preached a message on UFOs. And Kim said, "Daryl, UFOs?" And I said, "Well, you know, about 45% of Americans believe there are, and that there's extraterrestrials and all that." So you remember we covered that. And so next week we're going to look at giants in the land. Okay. So if you got your Bible today, we're going to be more practical in one sense. And we're going to look at the answer for quarrels and unanswered prayer, quarrels, arguments, and the biblical answer for why we're arguing, how we should stop arguing, why we should stop arguing, and then some contributing factors to our prayers not getting answered. And so nationwide in surveys, 25% of people say that all their prayers are answered. Now, I don't know if that's any of y'all. If you are in that category, see me after church. I have some prayer requests for you. 25% say they have all their prayers answered. 58% say some or most are answered. So almost 60%. 90% say at least one was answered in the past year. So 9 out of 10. And 44% pray daily. How many of you pray daily? Raise your hand. Well, that looks like almost everybody. There are a lot of things to pray about. So we're going to look at some of the things that might inhibit your prayers. Oswald Chambers, the great pastor, writer, said, "Never make this blunder of trying to forecast the way God is going to answer your prayers." And the idea that God in his sovereignty, sometimes he answers our prayers, but not the way we wanted him to. And so it comes at us in a different direction. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4, and we're going to look at the first six verses. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you?" You got a question from the Holy Spirit. "Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and you do not have, so you commit murder. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your own pleasures. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He who jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Verse 5 in that passage, the part of the verse about the Holy Spirit, another translation of that is, "The Spirit which he has made to dwell in us jealously desires us." So it's one of two ways. The Holy Spirit within us has a great jealousy over each one of us individually. Over our life, there's a jealousy. There's a protective, deep, deep emotion that the Holy Spirit has toward each one of us. Or God the Father has a deep jealousy over the Holy Spirit living inside us. And there's a jealousy, a focused attention of God the Father on the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I thought I would touch it now so I don't forget. Okay, so we see, first of all, let's begin back in the front of our passage, several sources of quarrels among us. Number one, we see in verse 1, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" So here it's talking about these impulses in our life. Our pleasures drive us physically. And with that, emotionally, seeking our own personal pleasure. And it can be a lot of things. A lot of times with some of this terminology, when you see you lust in verse 2, we tend to go towards sexuality or physicality in that way. And that's not a really, that's a very small aspect of what this is talking about. It's talking about a lot of things in our life. It can be food and eating. It can be rest. Some of you need to go home and take a nap today after church. And sometimes when you're just ornery, you're quarrelsome, you're aggravated, you're agitated, you need a nap. You need to take a nap. My spiritual father, Adrian Rogers, says it's never a waste of time to sharpen the axe before you cut wood. So there's times where we just say, there's been great pastors that said, I've got so much to do today, I've got to go take a nap. Now, preparing for today, for Sundays, I'm getting a little older. I'll be 70 soon, and I'm getting a little bit older in age. So Kim told me yesterday I took 2 naps. She said, where's your energy? And I said, I'm saving up for it. You know, I'm resting up. I'm charging my batteries. And so we see this idea of the physicality in our life, and it causes a war sometimes in our members where we get into things. The driving force of our emotions and our physicality causes us to argue with one another. Fuzzy Zeller played in the Pro-Am golf tournament years ago with Billy Graham. And Larry Nelson was the third. They usually put 3 in a group. And so there were 2 pros with Billy Graham because it was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham loved to play golf. Well, Larry Nelson, super godly Christian. Every tournament he won, he gave glory to God. He praised God for it. Fuzzy Zeller, not so much. Fuzzy, chain smoker, almost an alcoholic, a big, heavy, aggressive guy, great golfer. So they're playing, and as the day wears on, Fuzzy starts getting tireder. He starts making some bad shots. He gets aggravated. And so he and Larry are walking up to a tee box, and Billy's out, Graham's out in front of them. And Fuzzy leans over to Larry, and he says, I'm sick and tired of Billy Graham shoving religion down my throat all day. So Larry, as they're walking along, just kind of looks over at him and grins, and he said, you know, Fuzzy, I've been playing with y'all all day. Billy hasn't mentioned Jesus to you. And he said, I know, I'm just tired and aggravated. And so a lot of times this physical aspect of our life can affect us in our emotions, in our spirituality. A couple of passages for you. Titus chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. But shun foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and sinning, being self-condemned. So in the Bible, it talks about we're not to just be arguing, not even about the Bible. Now, we're to debate the Scriptures. We're to defend the Scriptures, but we're not to argue about it. And then he says there's these argumentative factious people. It says a factious man. It could be a factious woman. Have any of you ever met a factious woman? In the Bible, it says it's better to live in a hovel, in a hut, in a shed, than to live in a mansion with a factious woman, it says in Proverbs. But we see this idea that he says, if they're argumentative, if they love to fight, if they love to argue, if they're contentious, they're contrary, and they're always the devil's advocate, it says warn them a couple of times, and then basically the idea is get away from them. Don't ruin your life with them. Don't spend all that negative energy with them. And so here it's talking about this idea of our arguing and our our pleasures. And then we see also in James chapter 5, verse 5. It's right across from our passage today. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. We see this idea that he talks about, again, us living in this worldliness and living in this physicality and in this world. Secondly, our lust drives us to commit murder. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. Now, it's interesting in this passage, there's the murder reference, and then later in verse 4, the adulteress, you adulteresses. Now, in both cases, these are not actually necessarily a physical reference. It's not talking about actually taking someone's life. Jesus said, if you hate a man in your heart, you've committed murder. He also said, if you covet another person besides your spouse, you're an adulteress. Now, it didn't mean that either of those Jewish leaders had actually physically killed someone or physically cheated on their wife, but it was talking about, and Jesus said, it's similar in your heart. And he was trying to point out how sinful sin is. So our lust drives us to commit murder sometimes. And we see this in James chapter 5, verse 6. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Have you ever hated someone who's rebuked you or corrected you when they were accurate, when they were right? The Jews killed prophets left and right for confronting them truthfully. We see Nathan, the great prophet, going to King David after he had committed adultery and had the woman's, Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, murdered in war. He set him up, he had a hit on him, and he killed him. And Nathan was called by God to confront David, and he comes up to him. And he said, there was this poor man, this faithful man that just had this one little ewe lamb, and it was like a family member to he and his kids, and they played with it, and it lived in the house, and it was a pet. And this wealthy, great leader came along and said, I'm hungry, and killed the man's pet lamb and ate it. What should be done to that powerful man? And David said, basically, he should be strung up. He pronounced a drastic judgment again. In fact, David was infuriated, and then Nathan just turns to David and said, thou art the man. You are that man. God knows about Bathsheba. And we see in Scripture this idea that sometimes our lust drives us to commit murder. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life dwelling in him. Let me ask you today, as I'm looking at you and speaking to you, you're looking at me, you're listening. Is there anyone in your life that you hate? You hate them. You absolutely despise them. Well, in a minute, we're going to see a practical link to your prayer life with that. God says, you think, well, they've done this to me, my family. They've done this to my business or whatever the case might be, and I have a right to hate them. God says you don't. He says love your enemies and pray for those who despitefully use you. You don't have the right to hate that person, and it is destroying you, and it's affecting the effectiveness of your Christian life, of your walk in the Lord Jesus. And so we see with this idea that if you hate someone in your heart, you've committed murder. And then in our passage, we see next that our envy over others' possessions drives us to fight. And we see this again in verse 2, the second half of verse 2. And you are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And so here he says you covet other people's things. When I've seen these people breaking into these stores in major cities and looting it, saying we've got a right to steal these things. How wicked, is that? We don't have a right, any of us, to take anything someone else has unless they put it out at the road on trash day. Now, that's open game right there, and I do love it. I've got a Blackstone grill that my grandkids said, Bebop, go get that thing. It looks perfect. And I rolled it to the house, and I cook on it all the time. But if it was sitting next to their pool in the backyard, I don't have a right to roll it to my house. I've got one story on one of those grills that you put the pellets in. And I was riding my bike. I try to ride several days a week, and I'm riding through the neighborhood, and I keep a bungee cord on the little runner board on the back. And I go around the corner, and here they've rolled out one of those. You plug it in. It's electric. It smokes the meat. Yeah, I forgot. It was one of the better names. And I saw it, and I said, oh, my gosh. And I raised the grill, and the grill was clean. I mean, I think they cleaned it before they put it out for trash day. Well, I saw this van come by. It's like one of the Amazon vans. Only it was solid white. It wasn't one of those. And the guy slows down. I see him looking at the grill. I said, oh, my gosh, I've got to act quickly. So I park my bike on the sidewalk. I get the thing, start rolling it back toward my house. The guy comes back by, and he goes, just like that. And I said, now I got to get this home and my bike. So I got my bike. I tied the bungee cord on the grill. It had four wheels on it. And I almost took out a car going around a corner, pulling my grill with it yo-yoing back and forth toward me. But we don't have a right to take something that someone else's that they want, that's theirs, that they paid for, that they earned. We don't have a right to take it. We've only got a right to take the things they let us take. And I've got another grill. I looked it up. It's a $500 grill. The woman threw it away. I live in a good neighborhood. She threw it away because she said the pan underneath got dirty, and she threw the pan away. So I go by there, and I was going to get the grills out of it. And I look, I said, this is better than the grill I've got. So her grown son comes out, and I said, would you help me load your grill in my truck so it can become my grill? He said, gladly. And so we loaded it up. But we see in this that he talks about taking and coveting other people's possessions. Now, we do that to keep up with the Joneses. But let me tell you, the Joneses don't care. The Joneses aren't measuring you by what you have or don't have. The Joneses, the next door neighbors, and trying to keep up with other people, family members or whatever. Ultimately, they don't care. If you're in that game, you're thinking it, you're playing. They're not thinking it, they're not playing. And Scripture says that you and I are to be content with what we have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, therefore we'll take nothing out. Therefore, having food and clothes, let us be therewith content. How many of you today have food and clothes? Raise your hand. Well, I'm looking at you. I know you got clothes. I don't know if you're hungry or not. But he said, if you've got that, we're to be content. And contentment is that settled, thank you, Jesus, you're taking care of me. I'm not ungrateful. It's not that I want more. Contentment. And he talks about this. This can help us stop fighting. They say, and I've done a lot of marital counseling, that most marital arguments are around finances. More than anything else, more than adultery, more than anything else, finances. And generally, it's family spending money that they don't have. In fact, half of America today is not really hand to mouth. They're actually in debt getting the basic things and living that way. So we see this aspect. Then we see next, we lack because we don't pray. Verse 2 at the end of it, you do not have because you do not ask. You and I need to recognize if you have a need, ask God to give it to you first. It can be anything. God's given Kim and I vehicles, a lot of grills, as you know. He's given us a lot of things. I used to dive for lobsters and I'd snorkel and we'd go down. It's hard to hold your breath. And the heavier I got, the harder it was to go down. If I'm on a boat with you and we go down in the ocean, you can just say, get on, Pastor, because I am very buoyant. But I prayed and I said, Lord, please give me some diving equipment. And I only talked to Jesus about it until another living soul within a couple of weeks. I got a call. We lived in Hollywood, and a call from Hallandale, a family that weren't even members of our church. They said, Pastor Orman, we're moving, and we've got a whole bunch of diving equipment. Would you like to have it? BCs, tanks, regulators, belts, catch bags, everything. I said, I absolutely do. I've already been praying about it. I'll be right over. God will not only give you what you need, but he will give you what you want. But you got to ask him. We tend to just say, nope, give me that credit card. Let's go to the store. Let's go to Costco's. And we tend to just go ahead and spend the money. And then we think, how am I going to pay for this? So we lack because we don't pray. We need to ask God, give him a chance. And on that note, our maintenance man, Jesus, gave his life to Christ here, was licensed to preach here. He's a deacon in a Spanish church. And he's been our maintenance man and the head of our maintenance for 25 years. And he's diabetic. He went into kind of a trance, if you will. And he was driving down 76, the highway patrolman, because he was sporadic in his driving, ran him off the road, and it destroyed, totaled his vehicle. And they thought he was drunk. They arrested him, and then they checked, and it was actually a diabetic stupor that he was in. And he still needs a vehicle. So if any of you have an extra vehicle, I know a worthy family that could use it. And just let me know. Let us know. Call us here at the office. If you hear us on the radio and you've got an extra vehicle, call us. And so we see that we need to pray. Now let's look at several sources of unanswered prayer. Why our prayers are not answered. First of all, we pray with the wrong motives. We're selfish. And we can see that in our next verse. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. So we see here in Scripture that it's said repeatedly that by great evangelists even, that our prayers could send us to hell if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit interpreting. The Bible says, and the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered above our knowledge. Right now, we're all here. And right now, every believer here, balcony, down here, listening, watching, every one of us, the Holy Spirit of God is interceding for us inaudibly, with groanings that cannot be uttered, above our knowledge, above our abilities, above our sound. The Holy Spirit, When you and I pray, he interprets our prayers to God the Father. If he didn't, we could be condemned for our prayers. We're all basically selfish. The most generous person here today still views the world through their own eyes, their own emotions, their own feelings, and their own physicality. Each and every one of us. And we have a natural selfish bent. And that's just the nature of it. So he says we pray with wrong motives. Number two, we pray with worldliness in our lives. Verse 4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so we see in Scripture that worldliness, our lesson today in life groups, our passage dealt with this somewhat. Worldliness. And he says, worldliness is when you and I, our orientation to life, our worldview is a worldly worldview, not a biblical worldview. So we're seeing the world just like every lost person we live around, just like the rest of society. There's no difference between a worldly professing Christian and a worldly lost person because they're living in the orientation of strictly this life. I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to support the ministry of Christ. I can't give my time serving Jesus. I've got to go fishing. I've got to play golf. I've got to watch television at home with my family. I've got to go do the things I want to do. I've got to recreate. Through the years in counseling, I've had the opportunity to help save families that were in conflict and really almost tearing apart. And then they've melded back together again. They've gotten involved in church. They've gotten active. They've been started worshiping together, praying together. And then they say, we're doing so well, and the weekend's the only time we can enjoy our family. And then they drop Jesus, drop church, drop prayer, drop devotions. And then months, a year or two later, they're back where they were. You and I need to recognize that we pray with worldliness in our lives and it affects our prayers. It causes us to have unanswered prayers. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Here we see, think about Demas. Now, we assume he's born again. He's in heaven. He's been in heaven 2,000 years. But basically, the only mention of him in Scripture is that he departed the mission, that he returned to the world, that he was worldly. I mean, you and I, when we go to heaven, we can meet Demas. Hey, Demas, I read your verse. Sorry. You know, you copped out. You chickened out on the mission. And so we see this idea of worldliness. There's wrong motives, and then there's worldliness. Number three, worldliness separates us emotionally from God. And we see that again. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Boy, I don't want to be an enemy of God. Do you? Do you want to be an enemy of God? Do you want God to sit on his throne and say, I'm adverse to that one. That one is my enemy. That one loves the world more than they love me. We don't want to be an enemy of God. And this is where we see this aspect. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. In Matthew 6, 24, let me get there. How many of you brought a Bible today? Raise your hands. Okay, good. Good, good, good. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot. It's one or the other. Which is number one? And when we leave this life and we look back and we look at eternity compared to the temporal, to the temporary, to the here and now, and we look at trillions of years, we've only got a few years, a few decades to affect that. And what are you doing to register for that? What are you doing to invest in that? What are you doing to change your eternity for Christ? And so we see that he says that you and I, worldliness separates us emotionally from God. Number four, we pray without the leading of God's Spirit, verse 5. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. So here we see God the Father with his emotions focused on the Holy Spirit in our lives. Here we see God the Father. The Holy Spirit in our lives is the ticket to eternity. Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is eternal life. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. And the Holy Spirit is Christ in us. He isn't Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. But God the Father jealously with powerful emotions is concerned about the Holy Spirit in our lives. Are you quenching and grieving God's Spirit? Are you filled with God's Spirit? Are you controlled by God's Spirit? And then, of course, we see the other option in this as well. The Spirit, which he has made to dwell in us, jealously desires us. So if you want more answered prayers, make sure that you're controlled by God's Spirit. Make sure that you're indwelt and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. And you will have more answered prayers. The Holy Spirit, who jealously guards you, will direct you to the right prayers. And then finally, we don't have answered prayers. And let me share this one thing. The Spirit, which he has made to dwell in us, jealously desires us. And then we see also that we've already inherited the wealth of eternity in Christ. When it talks about worldly and temporal is the wealth of this world. Now, we talked about this in our life group a little bit today. In golf, you could be Jack Nicklaus or Tiger Woods. You could have a room full of trophies. Jack is too old to compete now. He hardly even does the honorary swing at the Masters. Tiger is so injured that he will never rise to where he was before, plus the advance of age. Think of the tens of thousands of hours these two men spent practicing every aspect of golf. And we can think of the tens of millions, or in Tiger's case, hundreds of millions of dollars. You can think of basketball and Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, whoever, pick one, pick many. And what does that mean in eternity? Now, Pistol Pete Maravich had a dynamic test for Christ. He got saved right at the end of his career before he suddenly died of an aneurysm. And he went into eternity. He parlayed his fame to Christ. We see others doing that. But you can be the top of the heap. Jen, you've already been for school board. You could become mayor. You could become governor. Lots of luck on president, but I mean, you could go right up the line in politics. But in the end of life, Jimmy Carter said this. He said, I was the governor of Georgia. I was a wealthy peanut farmer. I became president of the United States, and to do that, I shook thousands and thousands and thousands of hands and went everywhere. But he said the proudest thing, and by the way, he was Southern Baptist, liberal Southern Baptist, but he's Southern Baptist. And Jimmy Carter said this. He said, there was a revival at our church, and for 1 week I drove with the evangelist and our pastor to families in our community and invited them to the revival. And he said that 1 week was more important than the tens of thousands of hands I shook to become president of the United States. Well, that's accurate. That's one of the truest things Jimmy Carter said. But you and I need to recognize that pride in our lives will cut in between us and our walk with Christ. For he gives a greater grace. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We all need the grace of God. That is the lubricant of a dynamic life, is the grace of God. And he said, if you're humble, if you're not self-promoting, if you're not self-assuming, if you're not better than everybody else, I will draw near to you if you draw near to me. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. Father, we just want to tell you we love you today and ask you, please, dear God, and everyone here, help remove the irritants that cause us to argue. Help remove the conditions in our life that inhibit our prayers. And more importantly, Father, just please knock on hearts' doors. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, I just want to ask you, please, to knock at the door of their heart right now. Let them sense you speaking to them. And I'd like to invite you right now, if that's your situation. In Scripture, he says, if you'll call on him, he'll hear you and he will save you. And if you just say, dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life and forgive all of my sins. And thank you for dying on the cross for me. I love you, Lord. And I thank you for hearing my prayer. I will live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, pastor of First Baptist Church of Stuart. The Lord Jesus tells us in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall people give to you. For with the same measure you give, shall it be given unto you again. I'd like to encourage you today to send a gift to this ministry to keep us on the air. We are a conservative, Bible-preaching, teaching church that declares the entire counsel of God. We don't skate around controversial topics or moral issues that God's Word specifically deals with. If you've been blessed by our 20-year ministry on this station, WCNO 89.9 FM, then please give. There's several ways you can do that. First of all, you could make us a tax-deductible check today to First Baptist Church of Stuart, 201 Southwest Ocean Boulevard, Stuart, Florida, 34994. Or you can give online at fbcstuart.org and just click on our tab for giving at the top of the homepage. It'll take you to several options. And then there, if you would check radio broadcast supporter. And God bless you as you reach forward to us and assist us in sharing and proclaiming the unsearchable riches of Christ.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is John Demery, and I serve the First Baptist Church of Stewart through our outreach ministries. Our outreach ministry is about saving lives for eternity. It's also our way of getting involved with people outside the walls of our church. Some examples of some of our ministries are, one, the Feast of Plenty, which at Thanksgiving we serve our community with free Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, we celebrate the birth of Jesus through a musical performed by our choir, and it's also free and open to the community. At Easter time, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus by serving our community with food and games and fellowship, and of course, the Word of God. We are currently raising money for an indoor athletic facility, which will serve our church and our school and our entire community. And then throughout the year, we participate in other activities such as golf and fishing and hunting and women's and men's Bible studies. We also offer a program for young mothers called MOPS. The goals of our ministry is, of course, to reach people to come to the love of Jesus and to encourage them to join the family of God. And we ask you, won't you come and meet our family?
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and high school dual enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision and the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that he will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stuart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stuart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m. and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And your faithful deacon, who's been a blessing to me, he's going to come say a quick word. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I'll try and be quick because ordinarily we're trying to beat the Presbyterians to Sonny's, but wanted to remind everybody that we don't need to rush off because of the spaghetti dinner luncheon. Again, don't mean to belabor a point. I know that Rebecca spoke of this and we mentioned it briefly last week, and but I wanted to brag on Rebecca for a second. We don't have a youth pastor, a permanent one. She's standing in the gap. She stepped up and did this and stuff. And so we're having a luncheon and a cake auction at this luncheon. And if you can't make it to the cake auction, Alan or I could be trusted with your funds, and we could bid on your bid on cakes for you if you like. And I joke about that, but it really does bless my heart when I think of what Rebecca's doing and what Pastor Lefwich is doing, sharing inspired messages last week and today. Thank you again, Pastor. We appreciate you. Very much looking forward to Pastor Harvey Webb next week, again, standing in the gap while Pastor's gone. In football, we refer to that as next man up, and that's what we've got here, and I'm thankful for that, at least, anyway. So, spaghetti, luncheon, and cake auction. And then there was a little confusion, I think, with the Father's Day All-Star baseball game event. It's the 15th. We can sign up for it after church. I'll be up there. It's $8 for kids, $10 for adults. Again, a sweet time of fellowship. Again, what Pastor Lefwich mentioned about, you know, being in the moment and leaving by a testimony of what you've done. And we're only here for a moment. That's true. Take advantage of opportunities to gather and esteem our fathers and our grandfathers and, you know, be an example to our kids. Let's pray and then we'll go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Father, we pray, too, for divine appointments that while it's summertime and the living's easy and we kind of throttle back, help us to remain diligent in sharing the saving grace and your truth and your word everywhere we go. Father, we love you and praise you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004, and I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast, God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you, and we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab. And it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts, while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.